very warmest welcomes, and bienvenue back to this next episode of Tango TV's Program B. No funny voices this introduction, unless those of you across the Atlantic already consider my British twang to be proper, to the point of absurdity. In today's episode, we discuss Sourceport features, and the ways in which Sourceports, or more specifically Zedum, shape the evolution of mapping trends within the community. I'm joined by host Regular Tarnsman, and a special mystery guest star designated X, which, as it turns out, just stands for Caesar. The Magnificent
Seven. Sector is, like, the gimmickiest thing in existence, and I see where you're coming from there. It really, there's no way in hell I would ever make something like that without Zedum and ACS scripting. Not that I would ever make another sector, that was a big pain in the butt. but it is, looking back at it, it really only exists for the gimmick, and gameplay kind of suffers for it. Once I hit that point where I was putting monsters in, I was just kind of like, eh, screw it. So in a way, I almost kind of consider it a example of when gimmickiness can go wrong, because a lot of people tend to like the map, but it's usually because they like the concept or how it's executed. But personally, I feel like the gameplay is incredibly lacking, and that's something that tends to hit a lot, I've noticed. And so there's good maps and there's bad maps out there. But in my experience, the more you try and use advanced features, there's sort of a trend to focus less on the core elements, mostly because you're spending so much time on developing the new features and actually making good stuff with them. It's inherently harder, it takes more time, and because of that, your efforts get divided a bit and split up a little. I guess to kind of also toot my own horn a little, that's the way I feel about a lot of parts of the second Zedum community project, which is out in beta right now. It still needs a lot of polishing, though, because right now in my head, it's something that you would play for the visuals and for the new content in terms of enemies and weapons and such, not so much for if you're looking for super solid gameplay. And a lot of that is just because we, as a team towards the end of it, we kind of got a little burned out, I think. This is me kind of judging, looking in retrospect. But the last couple of phases that were meant to be for gameplay kind of got pushed to the side. So for those who aren't familiar with the process of the WAD, it was set up in a three-phase process. The first phase was just people passing it around to each other in 2 or 3 day slots, where we would make the basic structure of the map. You could detail it as much as you want, but the idea was to actually add bits and pieces. The second phase, we did the same thing again, got a list of people, pass it around, and did just straight-up detailing. And then we did gameplay the third time around, which sounded nice in theory, but by putting gameplay off towards the very end, that's kind of sort of an example of when you can kind of start neglecting it, because after a little while, the first few areas of the map are pretty decently done gameplay-wise, but then you get to hell, and it's just kind of like you can never find ammo, and it's kind of unbalanced, and a lot of that was because I kind of did it last minute towards the end of it. I know this because I was kind of guilty for holding on to the WAD for ages because I'm sitting here trying to be perfectionist with it. But in my head, its current state is it really does need a lot of polishing in the gameplay department before it can really be considered finished in my eyes, which is kind of why it's been stuck in beta for a while. There are a lot of people right now working on kind of a post-processing phase 4, which is good. There's been some good work done to it, and I think eventually it'll be a really solid project. But right now, it's just so unbalanced in the gameplay department, and most of it is just because we didn't spend as much time focusing on that as we have the rest of the stuff. So,
I mean, Zedum Community Project Take 2 is a bit of a basket case in that, you know, it has a different setup with one person handing to the next and stuff. So it's a bit unusual in that regard. But do you think it's handy to sort of decide from the onset what sort of features you're going to be using, and then just draw a line there?
I definitely think that could help your case. It avoids feature creep if you can stick to it.
One of the problems I've noticed is that, you know, if you become too excited about features or implement them in order to improve the experience, you end up just sort of, it feels tacked on in a way. And then furthermore stands out as a result of that, and just feels, messy, I guess is the word for it, or just unpolished as a result. If you just have tidbits of features that just sort of pop up and just feel extraneous.
That actually is one of the biggest, easiest pitfalls. In fact, that's why I've felt that vanilla mapping is kind of a breeze. A breath of fresh air. It's not a breeze by any chance. It's actually pretty darn difficult.
Yeah, you just throw it back to that next. I don't know why. Yeah.
I'm really not good at this whole language speaking thing. Choosing words, vocabulary. I don't know how you do it.
Very poorly.
You're just really good at faking it, I guess. Anyhow, tangent aside, I feel like the idea of more features equals less polish is a lot because you can get carried away. And this is something – so when somebody's starting out with Doom mapping, a lot of times they'll see somebody jump into the ZDoom community and say, hey, I'm going to make a map and I'm using some slopes and some scripting and some things like that. And they focus so much on that that everything else gets pushed to the side. And sometimes one can think that one can replace the other. On a vanilla map standpoint, that's the same as saying, I'm going to make this really nice detailed map and then not fill it with monsters, which is funny because that's what I'm doing right now with a hub map. Uh-huh. So that's a special case. Or the other way around, making a really nice thing gameplay-wise, but then just having square boxes to the levels. In order to actually make something that's well-rounded and very good, you have to be able to focus on all parts, or at least have a few people pass it back and forth to do that for you. And when you start mapping for advanced source ports, it's really easy to fall into the trap of focusing so much on the new stuff that the old gets neglected. Or even vice versa. Sometimes I've seen ZDoom mods out there that almost have no ZDoom features at all. And because of that, it feels almost like, why didn't you make it for a different source port? So when I was thinking of early examples for the category of ZDoom mods that are Doom Plus, Natural 20's Awakening immediately came to mind, which is a really awesome single map, huge.
Is that that map that begins with no monsters and then they swarm in once you reach the center or something like that?
Yeah, it's that big pentagram level, nothing there, and so you do it and the whole thing just gets filled up. I really like it. Yeah. But the way it's set up, I haven't actually tried to dissect it and see how it does its features, but it is a ZDoom map. But it doesn't really use any ZDoom features. It may use scripting to do some of its goals, but it actually might just be boom stuff. I'm not sure off the top of my head. It probably uses ACS in some capacity, but the level at which it does it, you could probably have gotten away with boom scripting and conveyor belts, voodoo dolls, I should say. And it's enough that it, in a way, it almost feels like it's missing the point. So it is a double-edged sword. If you make a map for a source port, you're kind of almost expected to use some of those features. If you make an Eternity map and you're not using portals, people are probably going to raise their eyebrows at you, since that's the big draw to the thing, which is what makes Hacks kind of an interesting case, because it's not really doing that. But
how easily are you impressed by by well-implemented source port features? Because I know that you – I wanted to ask this because I know that you've Tarnsman's been working on Backset Next, and in a way the amount of trickery you have to go through there in manipulating vanilla to bending it to do your bidding can be impressive in itself. So, I mean, are you as impressed by well-implemented source port features as you are by by tricks in vanilla mapping, for example?
I personally am not, simply because of how much easier the source port features make it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I think that, going back to what Zazer said, I think that if you're going to make a map, your primary focus should be on the map being good. And if you're going to make it for a specific source port but only use, you know, like one or two features from that source port, that's not really an issue to me because, again, the primary focus is on the map being good. So if you need to, you know, use a source port feature to make whatever you want to make to achieve your goals, I think that it is okay to only use, you know, a couple ZDoom features or a couple portals in Eternity's case, as long as the primary focus is on making a good map and you don't get carried away with the features, like Zazer said. And it is a double-edged sword because, you know, you do have a lot of I don't want to say that it does seem almost like, why didn't you just make it in a different source port? But at the same time, everybody plays with different source ports, and they're so accessible, and, you know, you can have multiple source ports on your system to the point where if it needs, you know, one ZDoom feature and you really wanted to use it, and as long as it's used in a way that actually feels necessary and not just, you know, completely and totally pointless, I think that there is no problem not fully using all the features of an intended source port.
Right.
And that's a good way of thinking about it, because going back to Awakening, whatever it did, it used really well, and it works. It's a really good map, so I guess without putting words in Tarnson's mouth, in my head, that would be a really good example of that. And since it's a good map in itself, and it didn't go overboard on features, so to speak, then it kind of exceeds in that regard. So for me, I will admit to being a lot more impressed by good use of source port things than a lot of other folks. I come from a really extensive Zedoom modding background, so things like weapon mods and gameplay randomness really appeals to me. Assuming it's done well, I'll sit here and nitpick stuff all day. In fact, sometimes I'm kind of guilty of playing my own mods with a lot of things. Like I just when I played through Community Chess 4, I actually played it with Necrodoom, one of my own mods.
I thought a lot also, yeah.
Yeah, why? Because, I don't know, I needed to test the mod more, and I kind of wanted to play the new set, so I did that, which
honestly,
is...
that feels justified, though. It's like a marriage of two different Zedoom.
Maybe so.
Yeah, well, it feels quite acceptable.
Well, in doing so, I'm not going to try and judge the gameplay based on my modification of it, because I know that I'm really screwing things up. And so the Green Herring doesn't get totally mad at me. Yes, I actually have played Nectar of the Gods without. First map I played from the set, by the way. So.
Right. This is another question I wanted to ask. And it may increasingly become a problem in the future. There's only so much, I guess, you could change about the Doom experience that this could continue to be a problem. And so far, to my mind, at least when I think about it off the top of my head, jumping is the only problem in this regard, but not retroactively, taking vanilla WADs or boom compatible WADs and then changing them based on the fact that there will be people there who play them using a certain Zedoom mod, for example. I know that Tarnsman, for instance, when he was doing Doom 2 Redux, was working on Map 6. Someone approached him and said, could you please move the Spider Mastermind? It's too big and brutal, Doom. It will break everything. And I imagine in an instance like that, you probably wouldn't concede. But, but we have seen, it's quite commonplace now for you to include, to prevent the play from jumping, for example, by writing a line into the WAD file that prevents... play from doing that, and some people agree with that, and some people don't. What's your take?
Oh, I guess to sort of soapbox on that, jumping is sort of a special case in that regard, because there's actually no downside to disabling it, because Zedoom actually has an override for that. A lot of people don't know this, but there's a console command you can activate that will always allow jumping, even if it's disabled in map info. Yeah, it's basically if you... Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it is. I should know this better. But basically, if you want to as a player, absolutely cannot stand not being able to jump. You put it in. You can override it. And some people will say, well, that defeats the purpose of disabling it. Well, not necessarily, because by default, people don't have these overrides. Me as a player, if I can't jump in a mod, I keep it that way. And the biggest, absolute biggest plus to putting that safeguard in a vanilla WAD is to prevent people from breaking the game by accident. Like, I have jump bound to my spacebar key. Suppose I'm trying to reach for something and I accidentally hit space, I vault over the edge of the map and get into a place I'm not supposed to be. Well, crap, I've just broken the map. Mm-hmm. And assume in our case the map doesn't have any arch files, so exclude the jump. Mm-hmm. I may do that by accident, so in my head it kind of prevents that.
These are the more sort of overt... issues with sort of source port compatibility with vanilla WADs that we sort of come across. But there are others that creep in that you might not necessarily notice. Myself included. I mean, I use GZDoom primarily when I'm playing through map sets on some testing something in chocolate, which I do quite a lot these days. And I have infinitely tall actors off, for example. And if I get to a point where I walk over a baron's head as it rises up in front of me or something, I typically don't then load the game and go back. I'm quite happy to continue playing knowing that I've just broken the map set, for example. I only recently turned, corrected Zedoom's making decorations fully blocking, for example, although that was specifically for testing purposes. So, I don't know. It seems to me that there are some sort of features that people are willing to just concede in playing vanilla map sets or the like, or otherwise map set that isn't compatible with that source port necessarily. And then there are some which get a lot of highlighting, like jumping, for example. But these seem to be just as important matters.
I'd say that Doom is a game that exists primarily to have fun. In fact, that's the only reason it exists. And however somebody wants to play their game, I think that, you know, I'm against balancing your map to, you know, cater to everybody, because it'd just be impossible. But at the same time, you know, somebody should be able to play with whatever mod, whatever configuration settings, whatever they want. And I actually like that ZDoom allows you to turn on jumping, even if it will break the game, simply because, again, it's in that spirit of, you know, Doom is a game to have fun with. And you know, if you want to have jumping on, you should be able to play the game the way you want to play it, regardless of, you know, whether or not the map set is made to use jumping, you should still be able to do it. And, you know, when you break it, don't complain about, you know, well, I broke your map set doing things you didn't intend me to do with it. You know, that's a whole other story. But at the same time, let people have the option to choose whether or not they want to break it.
Sure.
That's kind of my philosophy on things, too. Let people play it how they want. If they screw it up, it's kind of their fault. But at the same time, there are a few if you can do something really easy that can help smooth out the process, like just the one-line map info disabling of jumping, then I'd say it's actually a good thing for the mappers to do if they think about it as well, because it's something really simple that can help smooth that process out. So it stops people, for me, who have your space bar from breaking the map. I don't know. But if you have to go really out of your way to support X feature, which making your mods compatible with other gameplay mods probably is way over the bar for that, then it could be a good idea to do it. But
this entire discussion is making me miss Death Souls new stuff reviews.
Does not work in intended source port.
In block capital.
Those were the good days.
Those were the good days.
I just really, really botched that by not shouting it at the top of my lungs. I misquoted. I'm not going to try and do it because I'm not good at shouting.
So let's talk a little bit about source port features, as they will assist to whatever degree in evolving the Doom community sort of mapping process, because you get these threads cropping up quite often, and we'll say something like, how long do you think Doom will last? Usually, source ports sort of worm their way into the discussion somehow. Do you think it's going to be more down to people being able to probably utilize source port features and sort of keep it fresh that way, or do you think it will all just the art of mapping in itself, like vanilla mapping and the like, just constantly evolving and changing all the time?
Well,
that will be the main push forward.
I mean, we've spent the better part of a decade now with ZDoom and, you know, more advanced source port features, and we still have vanilla projects going on. So I think the desire for Doom to remain Doom will always be there, because that's the game that people love, and that's the game that they want to play. Now, source ports, you know, continue to evolve, and they continue to allow people to do new and exciting things with their mapping. I mean, you know, Winter's Fury, going back to it, a lot of the very impressive visuals in that map set only exist because of the source port features. They require, you know, the use of slopes to make terrain more appealing. You know, it's not jagged, it's nice and smooth. It makes those big, wide-open shots feel more atmospheric. It allows you to make more complex shapes. Like, there's a map where the entire map is just approaching this gigantic ice citadel off in the distance, and it's a really great, like, just has great composition for, you know, the visuals of what that map is trying to achieve, and that would not be possible without source port features. But at the same time,
source port features, just thought I'd point that out.
Yeah. we all fail at language, but without those source port features,
quite the night.
Without those source port features, that wouldn't be possible. But at the same time, you also have, you know, map sets like Back to Saturn X, where it's pushing the limits of vanilla and creating great looking maps. And a map that I won't specifically name or say where in Back to Saturn X it's going to go is a great example of being able to do that same massive, gigantic scale while still somehow staying within the vanilla limits. And so it's both sides of the spectrum. It's mainly what you want to do with the game. And I think the evolution of source ports and giving people more mapping options to create whatever they want to create is only a good thing that adds to community longevity. But I don't think that source ports necessarily will be the thing that keeps Doom going. I think the fact that Doom is an amazing game and people enjoy playing it Doom itself, you know, the basic game, not whatever additional stuff we add to Doom,
right,
is what will keep Doom alive. Yeah, you have the people who really like Brutal Doom coming in and playing only Brutal Doom, but at the same time, as much as Brutal Doom changes Doom, it's still Doom. You're playing.
It feels more like a fad to me. I mean, I'm more inclined to say that some of the Brutal Doom will fade out pretty darn quickly. Not to speak too pessimistically about it, but more than I'm inclined to say that, you know, the interest in vanilla mapping will deteriorate at any point in the future, which I'm also sure it will eventually. Now I am being pessimistic, but I mean, to me it seems like a fad.
I don't know. I think that it's just maybe not. But at the same time, my point still stands that Brutal Doom, for everything that it changes about Doom, is still more Doom than another game. It's an alternate Doom that, you know, I know a lot of people don't particularly like, myself included. I don't find it enjoyable. It changes a lot of things that I really like about Doom. But I still am playing Doom, okay? I can still enjoy a good Doom map with Brutal Doom. Even though I don't like the new gameplay elements of it, it still has the flow and the architecture and, you know, yeah, the hit scanners are going to take me down faster, which, you know, will interrupt gameplay a little bit, but the movement and all that is still more Doom than it would be in another game. And I think that barring extreme changes to Doom's physics, Doom's gameplay will always shine through, even in something like realism, where you're not playing Doom, but you're playing with Doom's physics and the dodging and all the things that make Doom a fun game versus, you know, more modern cover-based shooters.
Sure. I actually like that thought. Like, even the most extreme of modded games are still closer to Doom than anything these days. So that's actually a really fun question to answer, though, is you think source ports are going to be able to push things in the future, or is it going to be more? Now, if you're talking about in terms of features, I think there's always going to be room for both. It's always been an even split in my head, because there's tons and tons of stuff on the ZDoom advanced port side, multiplayer even. There's lots of classic mods and things like the Onomex community and a lot of people in Xandronum playing the newer things like All Out War. Ghouls vs. Humans was huge back in the day. But there's always been a pretty big split. Or not in the split sense, but in the there's always going to be room for both sense. I'm repeating myself.
That's fine. I mean, I would agree, but at the same time, I'm not entirely certain that conventional ZDoom mapping, for example, has reached its zenith.
I don't think anything of mapping has reached its zenith.
I'm not really sure I'm inclined to agree, because I think if you take something like vanilla mapping, it's more like just an evolution of, I don't know, I don't want to use the word trend again.
Without that,
an evolving art form, in the same way that you can't really improve, I guess you can improve a painting, technically. But, I mean, paintings have movements and stuff. I mean, you can only do so much with a painting, and you know, a paintbrush and a palette, for example. And I sort of likened Vanilla Doom in that sense, in that, you know, you can only take it so far. In fact, I would say, like, Back to the Next is pretty much reaching its sort of peak of what you can do technically with something.
But we're still pushing it forward. Even in Back to Saturn X, I guess, was what I was going to use as the example, which is a little biased since I'm working on it. But in messing with it, there's just so much you can even do with the vanilla engine that you wouldn't think you can. Back to Saturn X is one awesome front because it's pushing forward and pushing the limits in terms of how much can we squeeze out of the original engine, just in terms of visuals. We've been able to go so far with it, like farther than I think ever. The closest thing that's ever... I'm looping my conversation again, but basically it's, in my mind, something that's still pushing forward in terms of what can we do. And even in other regards, like Doom the way it did and Doom 2 the way it did, we are pushing forward, even though it's a vanilla map, in terms of how well can we emulate these other guys, and it's never been done on that level before. And even though it may seem like we're reaching some sort of peak, there's probably going to be something else that will come up. Like, what if there's, in the future, a trend of what's the most dynamic we can make a map in vanilla? To me, that's always been a fun thing, is how much can you squeeze out of vanilla action specials? And who knows, maybe that will be the next Doom the way it did, is Doom the way some guy with a crazy sector tag fetish would do. I don't know. But I played that. I would totally play that. I'd try and contribute and probably fail miserably because there's going to be somebody else out there who's insanier about it. Like, if you could resurrect Jim Flynn and have him make maps again, it would be amazing.
You just brought up an interesting thought, actually. You conjured one inside my brain. We see plenty of community projects that revolve around single vanilla mapping constraint, like 1024 or one tag, or I guess one monster can work on whatever source port. But we don't see any community projects that revolve around a source port feature, for example, implementation.
Oh, that's a really good thought.
Yes, it just hasn't occurred to me, and I think this is. In my mind, it's sort of almost to further the point that I was trying to make earlier, and that, yes, they're both moving forward, but vanilla mapping, that is, and ZDoom mapping, and they can contribute in their own ways to keep the Doom community going, but I feel that they're both moving in different directions, whereas with vanilla mapping, it's more about not pushing technicalities, but changing styles constantly, which is what I sort of wanted to say fads, which is why I made the painting analogy. Whereas with ZDoom, I really don't think it's got to the point where people are able to comfortably implement technicalities at a reasonable rate and consider it conventional to do so.
I guess in a way it is kind of like an art versus technology.
Yes.
The source port features are like advancing technology. You're coming up with new things. You're coming up with projects that actually utilize these new things, whereas vanilla mapping is kind of like more of the traditional medium of art and working with different styles. But in my head, they're still moving forward, advancement, even though one may consider shifting styles in a vanilla map a side grade in a way instead of going forward and using quote-unquote new things.
Yeah.
But in my head, they're kind of equivalent. I don't know. That's the way I see it. And another thing that's kind of fun to think about with the question is we're talking about source port features in particular, but it is fun to think about the fact that one of the reasons the Doom community is so big and the reason it's lasted so long is because of source ports themselves. Like, imagine how quickly do you think Doom would have died out if ports were never made? If it was just the original engine, we wouldn't have been able to do much. So even though we're doing so much, and you can even probably harken a lot of that to features, because myself, I came into the community because I started making mods for ZDoom. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, making weapon mods and things that change gameplay. And then I transitioned over to straight up mapping and vanilla stuff. But I never would have gotten into that had I not jumped in to one end of the pool. So that goes to say that one side can attract people and have it to the other, to where it's kind of like a positive feedback.
Oh, yeah.
The more variety you have, the quicker you're going to grow, because you're going to have lots of people who jump into this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then figure out what their interests are.
That's
there.
That's an interesting observation.
So.
I mean, I suspect only a certain number of source port features are going to succeed in doing that. I'm not sure how many people would be enticed by Brutal Doom to then go on and make vanilla maps, although it's possible, I'm guessing. But I mean, on the whole, yeah, I guess over the course of the community's history, it has been a case of source port features sort of bumping things along. And this is going to be a terrible analogy, but I feel like I have to make it, because the only one that comes to mind at the moment is like sort of light and dark, kind of shadow without light sort of thing. And that, yeah,
no, can't.
One very...
I have shadow without light.
Can you?
Maybe.
Oh my god, you froze my brain. Tarnsman.
I think that the art analogy, I don't know if I agree with it, simply because even the most changed Doom mod, again, is still Doom. So vanilla mapping versus that, I mean, it's not so much art versus technology as it is like hand painting versus, you know, drawing something in Photoshop. But you're going to draw the same, you know, you're always drawing a landscape, or you're always drawing a comic
right.
book character or whatever. You're always making the same thing. You're just going about it a different way, with various, you know, extra tools to assist you in the end result.
Right.
The end result is always to make a map that people enjoy playing. And, you know, you mentioned people who play Brutal Doom not getting into vanilla mapping or whatever. I don't think they need to get into vanilla mapping. We mentioned last week that everybody wants to map and nobody wants to play Doom. It's good to have people who just play Doom. Not everybody
yeah.
needs to make content for it.
Tons of them, when you point out like that, you're making me sound incredibly bigoted. And, and entitled, which I am. So there's that.
So that works.
Yeah.
But I think that with source port features is, again, they allow people to explore different ways they want to nav. But at the same time, you know, you don't necessarily need them. So I'd say they do help draw people to the community in the sense that, you know, boom, limit removing maps are probably the easiest because you don't have to worry about viz plane overflows and seg limits and all, you know, the other stuff that you normally would have to worry about with mapping becomes more accessible due to source port features, you know.
And actually, now that you mention it, it occurs to me because I always used to think of vanilla mapping as the default. But it's gotten to the point where limit removing, or that it has gotten to the point, I think, where limit removing or boom compatible maps are more the default, and that because of the sort of desire, as Zaza pointed out, to sort of push the boundaries in vanilla mapping, if we are to talk technically about it, it's almost like that is a sort of subsect that if you want to map for it, it's almost like a sub sort of specialist category in itself.
Yeah. I actually definitely agree with that. I sort of made a post to that effect on Doomworld somewhat recently, but yeah, nowadays, boom is the default, or at least limit removing is the default, because at that point you have no constraints and no super big features aside from it. Like, actually learning to utilize vanilla features is kind of almost an art in itself, and it places additional things you have to take care of in the same sort of manner that making a Zedu map places additional things you're probably going to want to use, like slopes. It's not perfectly analogous, but in my head, it introduces the same sort of additional workload because you're going to have to start focusing on things you normally wouldn't need to bother with. And because of that, new mappers should definitely start off with boom, in my head.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't even know what viz planes were when I started mapping. I didn't know about any of the vanilla limits until Essel's like, "Hey, you want to make some Back to Saturn X maps?" And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "Oh, you broke all of them." And then it's like, "Oh, they have to be vanilla." And it's like, "Oh." And it was a really big learning experience because there's tons of tricks you really have to use when making a vanilla map. Back to Saturn X has a lot of, you know, really talented mappers that come in and make these maps, and then we have to go through this, you know, long process of, well, okay, this is kind of a problem that your map isn't really optimized to vanilla, so you have a lot of, you know, like, I'm just going to leave this area bare because I don't know how to, you know, optimize, you know, proper seg counts and viz plans and all this stuff, to where you have to really learn all those intricate little tricks. And, you know, for a new mapper, especially with how convenient the modern tools are, I think that, yeah, just coming straight in and just ignoring vanilla and going right to boom is the way to go because it lets them focus on map design first and, you know, technical limitations later.
So, I mean, do you think possibly that you would be at an advantage to start off with mapping specifically for vanilla? I mean, we've just been talking about how boom has sort of become the default, but do you think that in mapping vanilla and sort of learning the constraints might in some way help assist you when you're mapping for something that utilizes source port features, for example?
I think it's
just like as a discipline of like knowing when to sort of restrain the work.
Yes and no. I think it's a case by case type of situation where for some mappers that really work, for others it wouldn't. Like myself, I'm really glad that I started mapping without going straight into vanilla simply because it let me, you know, this is how I make a shape, this is how I detail, this is how I don't detail, stuff like that, that basic guidelines that you don't have to worry about all the limitations first, that you can then get into the technicalities. Because there's a lot of, you know, boom-compatible map sets that with a couple tweaks could be made vanilla-compatible. You know, excluding stuff like the eye, where it's obvious, you know, a million line depths, and there's no way you're going to ever really make that vanilla without completely ruining it. But, you know, like all my Doom 2 Redux maps, if I go back, if there's a million unneeded vertices everywhere, the sectors aren't optimized, there's all the stuff that the reason I'm remaking every level is because I look at it and I'm disgusted with how poorly I made it. And at the same time, it was good that I was able to do that in boom because I could focus purely on making a level and not worrying about, you know, all the, oh, I'm not going to do this because, you know, I don't have the limits to do it. you can get carried away when you start with Boom instead of I'm going to make all my original rooms really bare because I don't know how to use vanilla right now. With Boom, you don't have to worry about that, to where if you make a map set that's, you know, box, 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 like the guy who just got banned from Doomworld today for getting angry at people criticizing his map set that was, you know, my first WoD.maps. Again, there's nothing wrong with making bad maps, but at the same time, if you're, when you're starting out mapping, you should be able to just make whatever you want to that extreme, and then at the same time, you know, not have to worry about all the little technicalities because you're focused on making a good map. So I think Boom and limit removing right there, without all the Z-Doom features, with just the basic Boom features, because you got the generalized line defs and all the really convenient features that are all easy to use, I think that's a perfect starting block, because then from there, you understand the fundamentals of mapping and can learn the vanilla intricacies on one end, and on the other end, you can look at the extremely, you know, heavy scripted source port features of something like Z-Doom and the portals of Eternity. So you're right in the middle to where you can expand and whatever direction you want to go.
Right. Also, WoD.map. Just thought I'd point that out, which is what you said. So I suppose I was probably incorrect in hedging the sort of point I was making there by saying, should you start out with? Because what I was really wanting to focus on is, as a discipline, do you think that learning the constraints of vanilla could assist you when dealing with source port features and mapping for something like that? So not necessarily starting out with it. But because it appears to me that at least the problem with mapping for Z-Doom projects today is that excess can sometimes get in the way, and which is something we discussed a little earlier. Just having too much bulk material of sort of features, and then it sort of corrupts the gameplay experience. And if you were vanilla mapping, for example, learning constraints that way, you might be able to better shape the sort of features around the map so that you're trying to create. And I guess that's what I was trying to get at there.
I think that, again, it's a person-by-person basis, I think, is the main point I'm trying to make, is that for some people that would work, for other people it wouldn't. It's really whatever the person wants to do with the features. Like, Zazer pointed out that, he, you know, he started mapping, making weapons mods, so obviously if he started out with vanilla, that wouldn't be, you know, something that'd be beneficial to him, whereas somebody who wants to, you know, emulate in style, then yeah, being vanilla mapper would probably be where they'd want to start and go from there. But I think as a general rule, Boom gives you the most options.
Okay. So at the moment, we've pretty much been exclusively talking about Z-Doom, but obviously there are a whole host of source ports out there with their own set of source port features. I'm not too well versed on the majority of them, to confessedly. And, of course, since we're discussing source port features, we're not really going to touch upon the sort of ones that try to emulate vanilla, such as Chocolate Doom. But how important do you think it is to have the diversity of source ports, even though, you know, half of them aren't used? I mean, looking at source ports like Vavoom, for example, which are... is that even maintained at the moment?
I have no idea what Vavoom even is.
Well, there we go. That very much proves the point.
I actually have no idea off the top of my head whether it is or not. I feel like I should know this, but I'm just drawing a blank. So,
I think to an extent, yes, it is good to have a large variety of source ports because they each have their own little, you know, specializations and what people want to do with them. Obviously, the multiplayer source ports and stuff like that are better used for, you know, their multiplayer features, something like Otomax or Skull Tag, not anymore, it's Xandorm now, and Z-Daemon, all of them, you know, they have their own launchers, it's easy to jump into a multiplayer match. They're specialized in a way that, you know, something like Z-Doom isn't, even though they do use a lot of the same features as Z-Doom. So I think to that extent, yeah, having specialized source ports, even if they're not as widely used, is good. Especially, like, you have Boom, which is used, you know, mainly for demos and for people who don't want all of the Z-Doom changes without having to actually go into the compatibility flags and change things up to make it behave like vanilla. And then, you know, you have Eternity, which, you know, if portals got working right and people actually made maps for it other than vaporware, would probably be able to do some pretty cool stuff with it. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't have the same user base that Z-Doom does.
Sure.
So
Eternity needs to catch on. It's great. Continue.
Tony does need to catch him.
But yes,
yeah.
I think that, yes, Alfonso, it is good to have a variety simply so that people can choose the source for it that best meets their needs.
Mm-hmm. And does that make sense? Yeah, sure. I mean, do you think most needs are actually met with regards to source ports? I mean,
I'd say at this point, yeah. I mean, you got Chocolate Doom for your vanilla fanatics, you got Boom for your demo runners, and people who want to play with all that Z-Doom's bells and whistles. You got Z-Doom for the fast, I can just jump into it and play, you know, I don't
want to... And then there are those odd bods who sort of elect to take Z-Doom and then just try to make it basically into vanilla. Just sort of just warp it, lower the resolution, and then... get all the necessary filtering done right, and then sort of confessedly, which, I mean, at the same time trying to shoehorn in some of the other features that remain, so it's sort of like meeting a middle ground. I know for one point, myself, I tried to do precisely that, but trying to retain sprite maps, bright maps, because I was that obsessed with them. I still am, really. But I was just curious to discover what a vanilla sort of experience might look like if it also had bright maps implemented. It was sort of a failed experiment. But it was nice to know that it was possible to do.
Again, I think that, it's like having different consoles in the gaming market. To me, Z-Doom is like the Xbox 360. It's easy for somebody... That's what Z-Doom is. It might have a bunch of bugs and glitches. It might crap out when trying to do certain things. But for all the source ports, it's the easiest to just jump right into. You have to set virtually nothing up. It's boom, boom, you're done, go play. It's got a lot of really convenient features. You can, you know, tweak the crap out of it if you really want, and so forth. And then Eternity would be like the PS3. It's, you know, it's more powerful, but... it's not as user-friendly, and, you know, like, you got to get rid of this. I think Eternity, at least the latest version I downloaded, like, it has a Quake-style start map to select difficulty. Stuff like that, it's like, I don't want this. Why is this on by default? You know, I got to turn this off. Stuff like that that's just inconvenient.
Sure. Well, what would you call the Kinect?
I'd call the Kinect Z-Doom crapping out when it tries to run something that it can't run. That's what I'd call it. I'd call the Kinect bad G-Z-Doom maps.
Oh, dear.
God, I'm almost tempted to run the gamut and just go back through the ages and discover some of the old source ports by making them analogous to consoles. But, well...
I guess what's the one that really burned out but had a bunch of cool features? Was that J-Doom? Was it J-Doom that just...
J-Doom is Doomsday. It's two different names for the same port, pretty much.
I know there's some port that had some cool features, but no, it's pretty much dead now, and nobody really remembers it all that fun.
Legacy. Doom Legacy.
Thank you. Like, Legacy would be like,
Dreamcast?
I know, the Dreamcast was better than... Dreamcast would be whatever other source port died off and nobody ever uses. No, Legacy would be more like the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, dear.
Oh, goodness. Mocha Doom. I don't know what that one could be relevant to. I've got this train of thought now. I don't think it's going to go away for the remainder of this entire discussion. Anyway, something that's... I noticed, although I could be, this could just be blasphemous induction here, just really extrapolating beyond what I might normally be allowed to do, but I have been noticing that a couple of people have been inclined to make their own source ports. I'm wondering if we ever might actually arrive at a point where, you know, making your own source ports is as commonplace as wanting to make your own maps, and if that was to ever become a reality, how do you think that would change the community or the mapping process? Or something like that?
I don't really think that'll happen.
You don't think it'll happen?
The amount of effort required to do that, I think that people can
I'm underestimating the programming here, clearly.
people could modify the source port, but at the same time, the current existing source ports pretty much meet everybody's needs. I mean, I know Kate...
Exactly.
Kate has her own version of Z-Doom using Python.
I guess that's what I mean, sort of tweaking your own
But at the same time, that's a very specific thing. That's still using a derivative of an existing source for it. I don't think we're going to see any, you know, like, I'm just going to make a source for it from scratch, because why the fuck not? It's just so much effort that is unnecessary that I just don't think people would be willing to do it.
Right.
And not only that, it would make mapping for Doom pretty much impossible, because it'd be like you have a million different source ports now, and it's not like, you know, when you're mapping for Doom, you know, I'm going to make a limit removing map. You know, okay, it's going to be played in Boom, and it's going to be played in Zedum, and it's going to be played by a couple people in Eternity, and like the five people who use Risen 3D are get, okay, so I have to think about those four source ports. Then it's, you know, when you have a 100 people all making their own source port, then it's like, well, these 50 source ports completely break my map and make it unplayable. I guess I'm just not going to worry about those 50 source ports. And these other 25 source ports make it almost unplayable, to where it gets down to the point where it's so unnecessary, or the source ports are so similar to one another that they might not, you know, just implement that one feature into an existing source port. Like the override for the no jumping in map info that got put into Zedum, stuff like that, to where the existing source port can accommodate that one feature.
Right. I guess I was foolishly inclined to raise this question after whenever I occasionally glance at the feature suggestion of thread in Zedum and just see the amount of no's that it put in there. Yeah. I was inclined to wonder what if. Yeah.
It'll happen, and it has happened, but it's kind of almost a once-in-a-blue-moon sort of thing. Like, using Kate as an example, she's kind of done her own coding, mostly because the mods she makes are so dang complex that she runs into Zedum limits, like, 24-7. Like, Pokemon Doom, if you have not seen that, is an amazing work of art, just in the fact that it's able to work, and work as well as it does, just because it's so complex, and it's pretty much all ACS-driven. It's like, how did you do that? But at the same time, at some point, you just kind of hit a wall if you want to go that far, and most people just don't really go that far. And those who do, a lot of them will kind of go... I say it would be a lot more common in those cases to either scale it back, go back to the drawing board, or to do what most people do and go to the feature suggestion board and grab some people and get some things for that. Because in most cases, it's kinds of things like, oh, this little feature doesn't exist, so we're going to suggest the feature, get the feature in it. And folks who code and are able to put those themselves, a lot of times will be able to submit a patch. I mean, I've done that a few times myself, is, oh, I need X feature, I'll submit it as a patch for Zedum, and most of the time it gets in. Now, there are some odd things that do get node, but most of those are so either small niche case, technical things that really can't be done, like ACS saving to a text file. ACS is not really equipped to do that. Security issues aside, a lot of rewriting would have to be done to support that in the first place. But at the same time, there are folks who do it. Kate's an example. Score Doom is another example. It's a fork of Zedum.
I was disappointed that it didn't really take off, to be honest.
It's still got a little bit of a following. But that's actually a good example, too, because Bilbo Hicks, the creator, decided, well, it would be easier for me to fork the port so I can integrate it really, really tightly and then have that high score. Like, the high score system wouldn't be doable if he hadn't have done it himself. And so that is an example of somebody taking a port and basically making a completely new one out of it. But it's so rare and so niche that
You said niche twice. Is that niche, an Americanism? Niche.
Probably.
Yes, it is.
That's
it
almost
is.
As bad as I could care less, in my eyes. I'm gripping my teeth.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't say that too loud, because you're going to get me started to use it more, because
Trying to torment me. Okay, fine.
You gave me crap about using it the other day, too.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Well, right. Niche sounds not English. It's like, oh, crit. Great. Now we're
loan words. We have French loan words. Just get with the program.
But why do we have French loan? Okay, so random rant.
Out of the way.
Okay. I'm so sorry, but the French language just drives me up the wall insane, and I'm so sorry for. I'm actually think that French speakers are the coolest people around because they can speak their own language.
It is a great sound, to be honest. I mean, it's just, you know, there's the French language is love. It's not the language.
It sounds amazing.
Look, you take an English sentence, and then you just add the French sort of accent to it, and then English is the language of love. It's just the accent. It's not the language. It's the accent.
We were talking about SourceForts, and you should probably commercial.
Hey. No, tangents are part of the B program, Tango TV.
I am in the channel. If this doesn't happen now, it will happen later. So may as well get it out of the system. No, I think it sounds great, but sometimes just the letters, the spelling, so many silent letters. Okay, anyhow, that's my rant. That's it.
Anywho, we were talking about something completely different beforehand, and now I have no idea what it was.
Well, that's just as well, because I actually had that rant as a maneuver to try and move on to another topic of discussion related to source points. Actually, no, it was to carry on from what I was talking about earlier, and I must apologize for Zed's interrupt to him. now that I think about it. But I guess the second reason that I wanted to sort of bring up the possibility of people making their own source boards, which now in retrospect does seem rather silly, was this, I sort of pictured almost a sort of runaway effect where people looking at Doom and wanting to keep the playing experience alive and fresh, and it might get to a point where it sort of starts to decay a little bit, but the source board features aren't necessarily advancing as fast as the imagination of the Doom community is in trying to keep this sort of thing alive. And so they get to a point that I want to make this project, SourceBoard X doesn't allow for it, so I will create a branch of SourceBoard X in order to accommodate for that idea. So things like what Kate is doing at the moment with Pokemon Learning, except just all over the place, people doing it constantly. Do you think that's a possibility?
Again, no, simply because of what Zazer said, that more people would be willing to, you know, submit a patch to an existing source port or just scale their idea back.
I think software makes that doable, so...
I think it comes down to just human laziness, that the effort required, just a lot of people, I'm not going to, you know, make a derivative of the source port to fix what, you know, I'll just have them update the source port, and if they won't do it, and I really like the idea, then maybe, just maybe they do it, but at the same time,
And do you think the inherent complexity of the sort of hard-coded Doom material that sort of creates these little quirks and just prevents you from implementing certain features, let's say, to source ports, do you think that might be a playing factor in how difficult it is to create your own sort of patches or custom source ports online? Or might dissuade people?
That's Zazer's.
Oh, sorry, what was the question? I'm being a bad person and zoning out.
I'm really entertaining the idea, is all, of people sort
do
of
it.
Generating that. Yeah, do it. Anyway, let's consider drawing to a close here. Is there anything else you'd like to say that hasn't been flagged up, maybe, on this discussion of source ports?
I actually feel kind of bad that ZDoom has been, like, the one example that we've been using for source port features, as if it's the only one there.
Well, that's true. I was trying to address that beforehand and say that there are many, but, I mean, this is what is the most recognized. And as a way in which you could influence the community, clearly ZDoom is in the running.
Also, yeah, because ZDoom is the most used source port. Not only that, but the fact that a lot of the other source ports, like Eternity and Skulltag, Skulltag derivatives, all of them are slowly, you know, homogenizing themselves to have pretty much every feature that ZDoom has, with, you know, a couple added stuff. Like, again, the big draw of Eternity is the portals. So, but at the same time, portals are kind of used in a way, not, you know, Eternity portals, but portals are used in ZDoom, or the concept of a portal and full 3D mapping, to the point where Eternity just makes it a better version of what already exists out there.
Actually, now that I think about it, I mean, one is almost certainly going to be less inclined to select a certain source port that they would like to map for, just for utilizing a select feature. They'd like to know that they're able to run the whole gamut. You know, they have the entire selection at their disposal, should they decide halfway through mapping, as is typically the case with mapping for ZDoom these days, for example, to just include features for the sake of it. So, I mean, I guess what I'm going on to say there is that if you set out with a certain source port in mind, that sort of complements a better mapping process or a more intelligent mapping process. If you're aware of what features you can use, what I wanted to say there was that if you have that right approach in knowing what features you want to use, then these source ports might see a lot more use. You might get a lot more Eternity map sets, for example, looking to utilize specifically portals, and also use some of the, you know, the more prevalent features from Deadly Mike, like slopes and the like.
Probably.
So, I guess it's almost just branded on the psyche of the Doom community now that you just, oh, I want to do sourceable features, just go to Zen. It was like eBay. It's just become that. It's just, regress into the psyche sort of thing.
If anything else, though, I guess as kind of a, this is almost topic shift in a way, but your question was anything else you want to add? The one thing that I want to see more than anything else, actually, are more ports that use cross-port features, because there actually has been a pretty big push, at least a decent-sized one, between ZDoom and Eternity, particularly at getting common implementations for things. Doomsday's in that running as well, even though it gets kind of heated on the forums a lot of times. Things like UDMF have come out, which is an awesome map format that would have been possible if it wasn't for a few people getting together and implementing the standard. But I really would like to see a whole lot more collaboration between ports, because there's a lot of feature overlap. And one thing I've noticed with hacks, Hacks 2.0, which for those who don't know is targeting both ZDoom and Eternity at once. There are a lot of features that are the same in both ports, but are implemented so differently that sometimes you have to do double work in order to support the standard. And I think that actually having the different ports work together would be awesome, because then you can kind of – I don't really want to say blur the line between ports, because they're always going to have different ones. There's always going to be a reason to use X over Y. But if you do that, then you're just going to make they kind of strengthen each other, make each other better, so to speak.
Sure.
So that's something I'd like to see a whole lot more of, but that's almost me soapboxing in terms of, oh, well, this was difficult in hack, so it would be cool if you could do Y.
to me, it does almost feel as though most source ports are sort of warring factions at the moment.
I don't know. I sort of see that sometimes, but it's not really like that in my head. That's me being idealist, though.
Sweet.
I think that I agree with Zazer. Sharing features between source ports is generally, I'd say that, to an extent, it makes, this source port's not totally pointless because this source port does everything it does the same way. But, again, it's that personal preference. What do I like to do this? I like to do that. You see it a lot with software where, software slowly gets, when it started out, this software only did this and that software only did that. And nowadays it's, this software does this and that software does that and this at the same time, to where it's, I like using this, so that's what I'm going to use.
Right.
Oh, I was just going to say, for the record, I wasn't meaning to phrase that in the sense that everything should start implementing ZDoom features. No, not that at all. That's somebody will translate as that, I'm afraid, and oh well.
Just out of interest, what are your source ports of choice for general playing, and when do you use them, typically?
I use ZDoom for most things, but it's ZDoom, Eternity, and Chocolate are the three I use. I really don't use Doomsday too much because the 3D this doesn't really appeal to me too much. And nowadays for multiplayer, Otomex is kind of what I flock to, because it's a, I don't know, I kind of like the classic Doom Deathmatch a bit more in terms of multiplayer than actually blasting stuff, which is funny considering who done it, but yeah, whatever. I know Dew's still kind of seething about that. I'm so sorry. Anyhow, we are
broiling.
So kind of how I do it is, if it's a vanilla map and I'm messing with vanilla straight up, then Chocolate. If it's something classic, like Goon-related, I'll use Eternity for it, just because I want to try and avoid some ZDoomisms. But a lot of times I'll just use ZDoom for general things, this and that. It's actually my default. If I double-click on a WAD, it opens it in ZDoom, because it has such wide support, so to speak. But those are the three I use.
Right. Tonsman.
If that
Chocolate Doom, Boom, and Z-Doom. I really haven't played anything for Eternity other than the Vaporware demo, so I've never, ever had a need to use it to the point where it's, you know, I have pretty much every source port just sitting on my system to where if I need to use it, I can, simply because, you know.
You're the source port diplomat.
Well, if something comes along that's really great, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to not play it because I didn't download the source port it's on. But at the same time, I'm with Zazer. Z-Doom runs pretty much everything. You can tweak it to what you want. I have this really big problem with Boom and Chocolate Doom where you stand on a line death and it warps because of whatever mathematic bullcrap that's way over my head, and I don't feel like figuring it out or understanding how it works. It's just the thing where the line isn't straight if you can't see both points it's connected to. Mm. And Z-Doom doesn't have that, so that's what I use. It's something as petty and basic as that.
Mm. I know when I was reviewing for new stuff, there were an awful lot of typically ones that would be the oldest and yet to be reviewed would be those like Edge and the like. I guess people aren't really willing to actually go so far as to download the source port just to play the map. So I'm guessing it's that, as opposed to I won't play anything if I have to use Edge. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But otherwise, my closing statement would be: could we please be able to zoom in on the overlay for Zed Dim's auto map? I really would like that. This is just throwing that out in the wind.
Oh, yes, oh. Yes. That would be a wonderful feature.
Is that, I mean, unless there's something in place that's actually preventing that from happening. I don't know. I can't imagine.
Can you not? I actually don't use the overlay.
No, if you use the overlay, it's locked at a specific... It's why Alfonso hates it when people put extra crap outside of their map that expands the auto map, because you can't zoom in with the
overlay. Oh, it's a pet peeve.
Oh, I had no idea about this. Yeah, that's definitely something that's worth feature suggesting. Hmm. Because that would definitely... Because coming from somebody who puts a lot of junk outside his maps, yeah, that would be really annoying.
Including your little X signature symbol thing.
Yeah, the little X. I actually try and stick that with a map boundary so it doesn't artificially inflate. But mm. No,
do you only put that in community projects? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I've actually been trying my best to remember to put it in things now, but it's something I just kind of came up with on a whim when working on Plutonia Revisited on Helix. And I kind of like it, so I've been trying to stick it in for little community things. But probably only then.
You should know that mapper signatures are my personal pet peeve.
Oh, great.
He just wants to let you know that he disapproves, I guess.
I greatly disapprove of it. I want Zazer to be fully aware of how much I disapprove.
Okay, next week, I believe we will be talking with Joe about multiplayer. That's just a very loose word. It'll be more specific than that, I imagine. He's an expert on that front. For all those tuned in, we hope to see you then. Please submit some little rants and tirades and of the like that we can then read out and talk about at length. Because small material helps us roll along quite nicely. Until then, this has been Tango TV with with Tarnsman, Program B, and guests Zazer, Acorn of Yore. What is Yore? Zazer?
It's a really shitty movie that starred Reb Brown.
did you full of shit, Tonsman?
No, your Hunter of Time, or, yeah, I forget what the movie's called. It's been a long time since I've seen it. It stars Reb Brown. There's actually like three movies in the series. It's like he's a caveman and it's in the future.
I don't want to hear it.
For the record, that's
what?
Oh, I was going to say, for the record, that's exactly what I'm referencing, and I didn't even know it at the time, so...
Brilliant.
It's just so transcendent. That's what we're going with.
I'm ending this.
What a note.
Until next time, thank you very much.
Until next time, thank you very much. I actually didn't finish a map in the time because I was doing other stuff as well, and I didn't like what I was doing for the back to Saturn X reactor thing I was making, so I just deleted it.